Dream big, live the dream. I was always a dreamer, but I married a woman who was not a dreamer. That means I scared her a lot. She never knew what was going to come out of me next, and that frightened her because she doesn't like change. I'm not sure she's still adapted to the change that I bring because I'm always dreaming the next thing. So we have a house guest. Martha Tallarico is in town. And I was thinking, I haven't had any punishment lately whatsoever. So I invited her to stay at our house. I have been in trouble since she got here. She was telling me her dreams the other day. And I said, wow, here she is and accomplished many, many things in her life, and she's still dreaming. And I realized we needed to have a message about dreaming. So today's message is dream big and live the dream. Now, I'm not talking about what you experience while you sleep. I'm talking about your aspirations. I'm talking about your ambitions. I'm talking about your ideas. What are you hoping for? What are you believing God for? What are your expectations? Are you so busy that you forgot to dream? Have you stopped dreaming because your previous dreams did not come to pass? Do you think that you're too old to dream? Are you in position for your dream to manifest? Do you write your dreams down? Do you trust in the God of dreams? Where do you think your dream came from? Have you given up on your dream? Are you willing to suffer for your dream? Are you afraid of what will happen if your dream comes true? I had to deal with that when I bought this church. I spent 6 months building it. They were the greatest 6 months of my life. I was in my zone. I was in my element. I knew what to do. I knew how to build a stage. I knew how to build a sound room. I knew how to run 30, 40 wires back and forth. I knew how to put in lights. I knew how to put in blinds and molding and all these other things that you see today. What I wasn't sure of is if I could preach. You see, I never preached on a stage before. And all of a sudden, I started looking around, and there weren't too many more things to build. And I'm like, uh-oh, I'm going to have to open. I was afraid of my dream. Now I knew I had to get busy. One common theme that you're going to find in the Bible are people who had a dream and how God led them through the dream. I have always been a dreamer, and I think we all start off that way. As little boys, we dreamed of being firemen or policemen, or for me, it was a baseball player. I wonder what little girls dream of.
My name is Cordelia. I am 9 years old.
What do you dream of being when you grow up?
I dream of being a paleontologist, which is the study of digging up old dinosaur bones, which are called fossils. And they have been turned to stone over millions and millions of years. And I dream of discovering a new dinosaur when I'm a paleontologist. So I say, yay to dinosaurs!
My name is Paige Faulkner, and I'm 8.
What do you dream of being when you grow up?
I dream of being a vet to help animals.
I am Lena Faulkner, and I want to be a vet when I grow up to help other animals and take care of them.
I am 7 years old. My name is Chloe.
What do you want to be? What do you dream of being when you get older?
Being a vet, take care of animals. Because I love animals, I want to be a vet. Okay.
Hi, I'm Martha. I just started doing genealogy, and I realized my grandmother's name was Martha. Everybody called her Maddie, so nobody ever bothered to tell me her name was Martha. I'm Martha.
Miss Martha, what would you want to be, or what do you dream about being when you get older?
I dream about being a carpenter, construction man, woman, and building myself a little cottage for my yard to live in the summer. And I'm going to do it too.
Now, we built a bookcase for the library here yesterday, but she was nowhere to be found. I could have taught her how to cut some wood. I could have put her on the saw, and she could have cut the wood for me, but where was she? I don't know. Most of us had no one to teach us how to accomplish our dreams. And in fact, most of us encountered dream snatchers. A dream snatcher is a person who comes against your dream as something you're not capable of doing. You see, when Martha told me her dream, it would be very easy for me to have said to her, Martha, you're never going to be able to carry that wood. You're never going to be able to build anything. But the truth is, she can build it by her heart and design. She can get Josh to carry the wood. That's what we did yesterday. He claims he's a little sore today. We don't understand why. We're not. Let's look at 2 Kings 4, 1 through 7. God, we ask you to open up these scriptures for us today, that we might see them in a new way in the mighty name of Jesus. A wife of a man from the company of prophets cried out to Elisha, your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that he revered the Lord, but now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves. That's why many of us stop dreaming. You see, it is real hard to dream when your back is against the wall. It is hard to dream when you've lost hope in everything. When you can't see your way out of the circumstance that you're in right now, how can you dream of something better and bigger? She's got a problem. In your life, you have had some major problems. And if you haven't, I'd like to meet you. But that shouldn't stop our dreaming. Elisha replied to her, how can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? You see, God's already planted everything that you need to accomplish your dream inside of you. It is you that won't let it out. What do you have in your house? She said, "Your servant has nothing there at all except a small jar of olive oil." You see, what I have, Elisha, isn't enough to feed myself one meal. I'm going to die. And that's how we get when we take God out of the equation. Can I tell you something? You have not enough of anything without God in your life. Elisha said, "Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few." What's Elisha asking her? How big is your faith? Show me how much faith you have. Go get some jars. You see, did she have the faith for 2 jars? Did she have the faith for 20 jars? Did she have the faith for 200 jars? You cannot accomplish your dream without faith. How much faith do you have will determine how far you go in your dream. Verse 4, "Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons." Wait a minute. Shut the door? Why do you have to shut the door? Because what do you think the neighbors would have said? You think about this, Josh. Here you are, right? You went out, collected all the jars. Now your neighbors want to know what you're going to do with those jars. Like, why? They're over your house now, Josh. They said, "Josh, what are you going to do with all these jars you collected? You collected 382 jars. What are you going to do with them?" "Well, I'm going to take this ounce of oil that I have, and we'll fill them up." Huh? Have you lost your mind, Josh? Let's call and get you some psychiatric help. You see, the dream snatchers are there to stop you from achieving your dream. Paul is in the process of buying a new house. If she gets around the wrong people, she won't buy the house. Because there are dream snatchers that are trying to take that dream away from her. She comes to me all the time and she says, "Well, you know, I don't know if I can do this." Shut up and do it. I'm not about to snatch her dream from her. Take God out of the equation and you probably can't do it. Keep God in the equation and watch it happen. Don't listen to the dream snatchers who try to explain to you why you can't accomplish that which you're trying to accomplish. That is your dream. Shut the door. Don't you know, Josh, that's physically impossible? You can't fill 382 jars with 1 ounce of oil? Come on. See, when you have a dream, you've got to be careful who you tell that dream to. See, you've got to go find somebody you can talk to about your dream. Tell them what you're going to do, but it's got to be somebody who's going to get in agreement with you, not in disagreement. Because if you get in disagreement with somebody about your dream, you're going to start to doubt the ability to achieve your dream. When I had the dream of WFM, the dream snatchers were everywhere. The former pastor of this church was a dream snatcher. They asked us our plans, and when we told them our plans, they looked at us and said, "That won't work." Really? I know better than to listen to dream snatchers. Go away from me. It's time for me to shut the door. I've had people walk in here, sit down here, and count the people and look at the facilities and say, "Listen, you've got a real problem here. You don't have enough people to sustain this facility." Time to slam the door. Shut up. I have something you might not think I have, and that's a God whose responsibility to sustain this facility. It never was mine. It's God's dream that he put in me that I'm bringing forth. And I've been here for almost 7 years, and we have never had lack in this church. We have never had not enough in this church. But the dream snatchers are everywhere, and they cripple you. Stanford has a dream. He's told me his dream many times. And I'm believing with him for his dream. Get around some people that'll believe in your dream and tell you you can accomplish it. When Teresa wanted to buy a house, we said, "All right, we can get behind this. We can co-sign this." And I don't mean the note. I'm not co-signing anybody's note. But I'll certainly co-sign the dream. We can make this happen. And then she got godly counsel and said, "How do I make this happen?" And we said, "Well, you do this and that and this and then to do this and then that and then call Roger." And the next thing you know, she's living in our own house. But she had to be careful who she told her dream to. Well, you know, you don't make enough money. When I was getting married, there was a line form to tell Marjorie that her dream of marrying me was ridiculous. They said things like, "He doesn't have an education. He's a minimum wage worker. He'll never amount to anything." No, they stood in line. You have no idea. Some of them came back 20 years later and apologized. But had she listened to the dream snatchers, she might have got a better husband out of the deal. That's wrong. Shut your door. Be careful who you let in. Pour oil into the jars, and as each is filled, put it to the side. She left him and shut the door, and behind her and her sons, they brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. You see, God can meet you wherever your faith is. If your faith is over here, God can meet you over here. But if your faith is down here, God can meet you there. Stop expecting God to far out see exceed your faith. He cannot do it. There's free will involved. We want God to cross the free will line when it benefits us, but we don't want him to cross it when it doesn't benefit us. I got news for you. He ain't never going to cross it. We must increase our faith, increase our trust, increase our belief so God can meet us at that place. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." But he replied, "There isn't a jar left." Then the oil stopped flowing. God will not exceed your faith. You must have faith in your dream. You must believe in your dream. She went and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on what's left. She had a great faith. Could have it been greater? Yeah, she could have got more jars. When we have a dream, we start off believing we can accomplish the dream. You saw those little girls. Cordelia has no doubt whatsoever in her mind that she can be what she wants to be. I'm sure her parents have something to do with that. I'm sure her parents have been telling her, yes, you can be that. I can't even say it. The question is, what will happen to Cordelia? Will her dream be nurtured? Will her dream be cared for? Will she protect herself from the dream snatchers? That's the only way she'll accomplish the dream. We have to nurture their dreams. I've had to slam the door on my mother. I had to slam the door on my father. I had to slam the door on some that I thought were my friends. My wife has learned to stay out of the doorway. If you get in the way of me and my dream, I will slam the door on you. Not everyone knows. You can write this down. Not everyone knows that the impossible is possible. See, there are a lot of people running around in your life who still think the impossible is impossible. When that lady started filling up the oil, I'm here to tell you today that was impossible. By any understanding we have at the human level. But God said, with me, all things are possible. Does your dream defy logic? Logic does not exist in the spiritual realm. God can and will bend the laws of nature for you. You can see it here at times. Tell me this. Where's Rob? Anybody know Rob's a big boy, right? I ain't saying nothing bad. I'm just saying he's a big boy. He knows he's a big boy. You tell me, how does someone who's standing straight up in perfect balance falls on their back like he fell on his back the other night? I thought there was going to be a dent in the floor. Not because as much as his size, but the force that he went down. Standing straight up and then pow! He was down. That's against the laws of nature. Do you know that? Nature says a body in motion tends to be in motion, but a body that is still tends to stay still. He was still. How did he get in motion? God had to bend the laws of nature for him to be in motion. God bent the laws of nature for Abraham. God gave him a son at the age of about 100. The fact that he could still go bent the laws of nature. My sensor's a little worried. I want that anointing. Come on, Roger, you can agree with me. It's okay. Nobody can see you back in the back. Everybody talk about how Sarah did it. I want to know how Abraham did it. How did Abraham live the dream? Romans 4. 13 through 25. That famous promise God gave Abraham. Everybody know the promise? You'll be the father of all nations. Many nations. Your number will be like the sand in the seashore. What a promise. That famous promise that God gave Abraham that he and his children would possess the earth was not given because of something Abraham did or would do. Now, wait a minute. Abraham's dream is not based on his action. It was based on God's decision to put everything together for him. You have to believe God's put your dream together. God has to put the dream together. Which Abraham then entered when he believed. He believed in the dream. He believed God was going to do what God said he was going to do. When you have a dream, that is God telling you what it is he's going to do through you. That's what a dream is. Abraham believed it. If those who get what God gives them only get it by doing everything they are told to do and filling out all the right forms properly, signed, that eliminates personal trust completely and turns the promise into an ironclad contract. You can do everything you're right. You can do everything right and lose your dream. Because you're trying to do it on your own strength. You're trying to say, God, if I come to church every Sunday and I come to church every Wednesday and I come to the Bible study on Friday and I stop swearing and I stop drinking, then can my dream come true? And God's saying, no. Your dream is not based upon how you function. Your dream is based on your trust and belief in me. That's not a holy promise. That's a business deal. A contract drawn up by a hard-nosed lawyer with plenty of fine print only makes sure that you're never going to be able to collect. But if there is no contract in the first place, simply a promise, and God's promise at that, you can't break it. What is it telling you? You've got to get into agreement with God about your dream. Sometimes you got to say, God, I don't know how we're going to accomplish this dream, but I do know one thing. With you, I can accomplish it. I'll take the first step even though I don't see the staircase. I don't know how we're going to accomplish this, but I don't need to know how because I know you. This is why the fulfillment of God's promise depends entirely on trusting God and His way and then simply embracing Him and what He does. God's promise arrives as pure gift. My dreams, the results of my dreams were gifts from God. Everything that I dreamt, everything that I've accomplished is because I trusted in God and God gave it to me. Can I tell you a little secret? I ain't never going to do everything right. I don't have the capability. Of course, neither do you. Our dreams aren't based on that, though, are they? They're based on our trust in God, and that I do right. I trust God for my dreams. That's the only way everyone can be sure to get on it. Those who keep the religious traditions and those that have never heard of them, for Abraham is the father of us all. He is not our racial father. That's reading the story backward. He is our faith father. He's the father of faith. He taught us how to believe the possible, the impossible was possible. We call Abraham father not because he got God's attention by living like a saint, but because God made something out of Abraham when he was a nobody. How many of us have given up on our dream because we felt we weren't able to complete it? That who are we? I remember going before God and say, God, how am I going to pastor your church? I'm uneducated. I don't have a degree from seminary. I haven't been to seminary. I don't have the education. I don't know the Bible well enough. And he sent the prophet KK to talk to me. He said, that fool's not listening to me. Go tell him something. And KK walked into the room and he said, God said to tell you that just because you don't have a degree from here or from there and you're not steeped in human tradition and you don't haven't been there and seen that, he said, it doesn't matter. I'm going to use you to speak my truth. And now he's put a doctor in front of my name. He's got a sense of humor. There are people that are mad at me because there's a doctor in front of my name. Now, I spent $100,000 getting a doctor put in front of my name, and a college walked in and handed it to you. With God, all things are possible. You did yours on your own. Isn't that what we've always read in Scripture? God saying to Abraham, I set you up as father of many peoples. Abraham was first named father and then became a father because he dared to trust God and to do what only God could do, raise the dead to life with a word make something out of nothing. I walked into a 1,000-member church arguing with God. They will never use me in this church. There's too many people. There's too many people here, God. They have everybody they need, and everybody they have is so far above me spiritually that it's not even measurable. Not only that, God, I'm white and they're not. It didn't make any sense to me. It defied logic. But God made something out of nothing. And before they knew my name, they said, "You stand up." And when I stood up, they said, "You're a pastor in this house." And that's how I got my pastorate. I didn't get my pastorate because I knew the word of God. I didn't get my pastorate because I could run circles around other people. I didn't get my pastorate because of any other reason than somebody listened to what God said. And God made something out of nothing. And in 1 minute, 1,000 people were calling me pastor. And I didn't even know their names. They didn't even know my name, but they called me pastor. Because God will make something out of nothing. In the natural, I built a factory with no business and no customers and no way of knowing how to get them. And I built a factory. And it was beautiful. And then I said, "God, here's the factory. And all of a sudden, orders started pouring in, and something was made out of nothing. God can raise the dead to life. How do I know that? Because I'm still standing. Science would tell you that I'm dead. Human logic will tell you that I'm dead. So when I read that scripture, I understand it. Science will tell you you've got to have that red stuff. What, nurse? What's that red? Blood. Blood. Yeah, you got to have blood. I had a leak, and I lost all my blood. I had a leak. Wasn't a drip. It was a squirt. 4 feet in the air. Every time my heart beat, another squirt happened. And something funny about that, when you're in that situation, your heart beats a lot faster than normal. A lot of squirting. Of course, I did the only intelligent thing you could do. I went and hid. Back of the house. God, to do what only God could do, raise the dead to life with a word, make something out of nothing. I'm a living testimony that God has done just that. When everything was hopeless, Abraham believed anyway, deciding to live not on the basis of what he saw he couldn't do, but on what God said he would do. It didn't look good for Abraham. And so he was made father of a multitude of peoples. God himself said to him, "You're going to have a big family, Abraham." Abraham didn't focus on his own impotence and say, "It's hopeless. This 100-year-old body could never father a child." nor did he survey Sarah's decades of infertility and give up. He didn't tiptoe around God's promise, asking cautiously skeptical questions. Well, God, is this what you want me to do? No, God already told you where to do it. Where did your dream come from? It came from God. He doesn't want the skeptical questions. He doesn't want you going before him and saying, well, you know, I'll do this if it's really what you want. He plunged into the promise and came up strong, ready for God, sure that God would make good on what he had said. How long does it take you to believe in your dream? Abraham was already sure. That's why it is said Abraham was declared fit before God by trusting God to set him right. Aha, but it's not just Abraham. It's also us. It's us. It's your dream. God's talking to you right now about your dream. The same thing gets said about us when we embrace and believe the one who brought Jesus to life when the conditions were equally hopeless. You see, when Jesus was killed, what do you think all the believers were thinking? Over. We have a piece of artwork at home. It's called Return from Calvary. And in the distance are three crosses. And you see the despair on the faces of the people that came back after witnessing that event. They were thinking, it's hopeless. We've lost. Everything we thought was going to happen has not happened. The conditions were hopeless. I know your dreams are hopeless. Because how could God get any glory from them if they weren't? It would be me who would stand up here and take credit for this. Look what I did. But it was hopeless. Because when the dream was put in me, I didn't have the finances to obtain this. I didn't have the education to obtain this. I didn't have anything that I needed to do this. And the conditions were hopeless, so that I will always know that it was God who did this through me. And I will never lose sight of that. The sacrifice Jesus made for us fit with God and set us right with God. Jesus paved the way. I cannot finish today. I'm sorry. No, I'm not. What a shock, right? Who knew that I couldn't finish a sermon in one Sunday? Oh, y'all knew. Okay. Prayer warriors, come up. I invite you back next week to hear part two. I just want you to think about this today. Have I been dreaming? Have I been dreaming? Is there something in me? And if you can answer yes to that question, Then the next question is, am I trusting God in that dream? Do I believe in God of that dream? Come up and get in agreement with somebody that won't snatch your dream away. And if one of these people try to snatch your dream away, you would notify me and I'll slap them upside their heads. Yes, that's intimidation. I need a family of people that know how to encourage a dream, not take a dream. You're not too young to dream, and you're not too old to dream. And there's always something else God wants to do through you. God's not going to give up. We're the ones who give up. Father God, we thank you for this word of a dream. Help us to dream bigger, God. Help us to live the dream.